Let's stand and read the Word of God this morning in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. You follow with me as I read. It's a blessing to be here, and I want to thank you for your faithfulness to us and over the many years that you've supported us in our ministry. And God's been good to us, as well as I can see to you. I mentioned this morning to some, it's so exciting to see children, all these young people. I don't know about you, but they don't bother me in the church. If they get noisy, fine. I get noisy too. I mean, I think it's wonderful because that's the lifeblood and that's the future of this church. Amen? Without young people, there is no church. I've been in some churches where, you know, it was me four and no more, and it was scary because I know that it isn't long. They're going to be gone. I remember a friend of mine who's pastoring in Fond du Lac now, Brother Larry Witt. He took a church that had 8 people, and the youngest was 80. And they were all in their 80 and above. And you know the amazing thing? God has blessed that work. They have a lot more than 8 people now. They're running probably about 50. And he's already buried all those 8 people. But God has blessed the work. They've got children. They've got young people. My son goes to that church, and pray for him. He's leading the singing this morning, and he's nervous because they're also being televised. And who knows who's watching? Amen. It's a scary thought when you think about people watching you. But, you know, God watches you every day. He watches everything you do. And today is a blessing day. It's a beautiful day. This is the day the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad therein. That's what the Word of God tells us, and even if it was a rainy day, it's still a beautiful day in God's house. Amen? God has loved us with a perfect love. He's given us everything to enjoy. He's given us all things, it says in the Bible, to enjoy. And He's given us His Word in our language. That is something that is a rare thing in our world. There's still over 3,000 languages that have never been translated into written form. So they don't have the Word of God. And they can't get saved, by the way, without it. I believe that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Without the Word of God, you can't get faith. And faith is still the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We need to pray that God will raise up young people with a good hearing and a good ability to learn linguistics and translation work and translate some of these languages. I am so blessed and excited about a ministry and a friend of mine down in Bowie, Texas, Brother Rex Cobb. Yeah, I was thinking of it, Monica. It's just a little slow. But anyway, Rex has been in the ministry probably about 45 or 50 years, too. And he, when he was in Oaxaca, Mexico, he was a missionary to Mexico and working with the Zapoteco Indians, and he translated their language into written form, and we had the privilege of printing their language for the very first time and then taking it to the field and delivering it. And to be able to see these people for the first time in their history of 1,000 years, to be able to hold the Word of God in their hands. This one man was so excited. Now, they learned how to read, the children did, because they learned phonetics. Well, the scriptures were written phonetically for them, and they were able to read it, and this one man had his 16-year-old son. When we were there, and he set me on a beanbag, and he set my wife down on a beanbag, and he had his 16-year-old son stand up and read that portion of scripture that we delivered to them, and the boy read it so beautifully and loud, I didn't understand. I knew what he was reading because it was the story of the Good Samaritan. But he was so excited about reading the Word of God for the first time to somebody. It was exciting to me then to find they had somebody get saved because of the Word of God eventually. You know, it's the Word of God that changes lives. The Word of God changed my life. If you're saved today, the Word of God changed your life. You know, without the Word, you can't get saved. Without the Word, you can't grow. It's like, if you don't get any food, you starve to death. And if you don't get spiritual food, you starve to death spiritually. Amen? And so it's important to have the Word of God. I've been in this ministry over 40, how many years now? 44 years almost. Scary thought, but I didn't think I'd ever get this old. You know, I thought the Lord would have come back 40 years ago. Amen? I've been preaching it, but he still hasn't come. You know why? He's waiting for everyone to hear about his coming the first time. And it's your job and my job to make sure that people hear about Jesus. Amen? Let's read here in Revelation chapter 4, and you follow with me as I read. And then I'd like you to turn over after we read Revelation 4. We'll read another portion of Scripture after we make our prayer. He says here, "After I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.' And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardis stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast like a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come.' And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him and sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.'" Father, we just love you today, and thank you, God, for the Word of God. Thank you that someone was willing to translate our language and then to produce the Word of God. And many men have died because of the scriptures that we received, and as a result of giving it to the English-speaking people, many were burned at the stake. They were beaten and sawn asunder, martyrs for the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to be faithful with this precious book. Help us to be faithful not only to read it and to heed it, but to live it in our lives, that we might present it to other people when they ask us of the hope that's within us. Help us to be ready always to give an answer for them. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time together, that we're here. And Lord, I just pray for Brother Helm as he makes preparation to move here to pastor this church. And I pray, God, that you'd give him protection and safety this week and in the days and months and years ahead that he's here. God, use him, anoint him, and make this work grow, and God, add to it those that you'd like to be saved and need to be saved in this community. Help us to be faithful witnesses and faithful unto death, that we might see you one day and stand before you not ashamed of our lives. Thank you, God, for the privilege it is to serve you today. Thank you for your love for us, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says this, "And it is appointed unto men once to die." But, that but is very important, "but after this, the judgment." I don't know about you, but I don't like being judged. I don't know how many of you, I won't make you raise your hand. I was going to say, how many of you have gotten a ticket speeding? Never mind, I won't ask you. But anyway, to stand before a judge is a scary thing sometimes, especially when you know you're guilty. You know, you wouldn't be there if you weren't guilty, by the way. Of course, people plead insanity. That's a good thing, but you can't do that at the judgment seat of Christ. And it's something to realize, judgment is coming. You know, we're living in a day when our world is going crazy. I don't know about you, but every day everything changes so fast. It's hard to keep up with what's going on, but the most accurate newspaper you can ever read is the Word of God. I mean, God is right down to the fine point of where He could come at any moment. Did you know that? Think about that. I mean, we're so close to the trumpet, as this passage read. The voice of the trumpet and the trump of God and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll be with those that passed on before us, and praise God for eternity if we're saved. But woe unto them that do not know the Lord as Savior, because following our departure, they are going to experience 7 years of tribulation that will make COVID look like a Sunday school picnic. We can't even imagine. The first 3.5 years, oh, it's going to be cool and safety everywhere, and it's going to look good, and then all of a sudden, the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this earth, and the plagues that Egypt had are nothing compared to what it's going to be when you think about what's going to happen. That ought to make us a little concerned about our loved ones that aren't saved, our friends that aren't saved, our neighbors, our co-workers, people that have never been born again. We need to be faithful to witness to people while we have time. We don't know how much time we have. Life is short. Did you know young people die? Did you know that young people die? Did you know old people die? But we expect that, right? But when a young person dies, that's not expected. I've had a funeral of a baby that was born dead. Never had the opportunity to breathe life. That was a hard funeral. That little baby was only 1.5 pounds. The mommy held it in her hands and wept. I don't know about you, but it stirred my heart. I've also, those of you that know us, our son was born premature, Benjamin. And by the grace of God, he's alive today. And one of the blessings to me is he's leading singing in a fundamental independent Baptist church in Fond du Lac. Amen? That's a blessing to me. But, you know, it's the grace of God that any of us are here. And we don't know when we're going to die. The Bible says, but it is appointed unto men once to die, Hebrews 9:27. But after this, the judgment. But you're only appointed once to die. Did you realize that because you were born in sin, if you die in sin, you're actually going to die twice, because you haven't got the blood of Christ on your life yet. If you haven't trusted His blood and His death for your sin, and you've not asked Him to save you, you are not born again. That means you're going to die twice. You're going to die the physical death, which everybody will do, but you're going to die a spiritual death for eternity. That ought to wake you up, make you think a little bit. I don't know about you, I don't like the idea of dying. When I was in Vietnam, I wasn't saved. And I can remember many firefights we were in. I mean, sometimes I was terrified. I mean, literally. You don't know what it's like being shot at by machine guns and have the windows all blown out of your vehicle and your compass in front of you blow up and your light get hit and hanging by wires and you're hanging under the helm of a boat and a bullet ricochets between your hands and you stop and the firefight's over. And you're standing, sitting there, you're wondering, wow, I'm not even hurt. and you realize there's 7 bullet holes in your seat, and somehow you got missed. That woke me up. And then you come off a patrol and that like that, and the corpsman says, "Jim, if you'd have died today, would you have gone to heaven?" You know, I lost it. I really did. I cussed him out. I was so upset that he would even say that to me. You know, he wasn't afraid to talk to me about my eternal death. He said, "No, I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm just concerned. Where are you going to spend eternity?" And I, in my ignorance, said, "I don't know. I don't think I'm good enough to go to heaven." Nobody believes they're good enough to go to heaven. "But I know I'm not bad enough to go to hell." I mean, really, seriously. I was taught that if my good ways outweighed my bad, then God would level it out and I would get to go to purgatory. And then my grandma could pray me out of purgatory, right? Well, that's some safety net when you think about it, because she was just as lost as I was. Didn't know that, though. Then he says, "I'm having a Bible study. Why don't you come on Thursday night?" And this is Monday night. And I said, "Oh, nope. I ain't going to no Bible study. My priest told me if I read the Bible, I'd go crazy." You know, he was absolutely right. I've been crazy about it ever since. You start reading this book and it makes sense, and then you start thinking about what God says and you start applying what God says to your life, and you realize, man, I'm lost and I'm on my way to a Christless eternity in a place called hell, and I'm going to burn forever if I don't get saved. Woo, that ought to make you wake up, amen? And then you ought to say, "Woo, glory to God, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. If I was the only one in the world, you'd have come." You realize that? If you were the only one living in this world, he would have come and died for you. "He shed his blood that you might have life," the Bible says, "and have it more abundantly." If you're not having an abundant life, it's your fault. Amen? I don't know about you, but he's blessed me over the years. I've had problems. I've had trials. I've had troubles. But if you don't have any trials and troubles, you don't have any victories. Did you know that? You know, if you don't see God working in your life and in the lives of your loved ones and others, there's no victory for you. That's a horrible thing to go around and never be able to say, "Glory to God, he spared my life last night." My grandson, just on the way here this morning, we called my son up and said, "How's it going?" "Oh, Dad, last night, our grandson Noah, he's coming home after taking his girlfriend home. He's on his way back home. He's only about 3 miles from home. A drunk driver's coming all over the road, reckless driving. Just misses him, ends up going off the road, hits a culvert, rolls over right in front of him. Could have hit him just as easily. So he stopped and ran over to help him. I don't know about you, I don't like going over to an accident and being the first one there. Especially when you don't know what's in the vehicle and you don't know what you're going to see. I've had it happen a few times where I've got to see things I never, ever going to forget, I hope. But I also realized that that's part of life. And he ran over there and the guy was, he couldn't see him right away, so he had to take the airbag out of the way, and he got him and made sure he was moving and he was still alive. So he called 911. Police came, the ambulance came, they took him away. And of course, my son got up and got dressed, and because he hadn't come home for 40 minutes yet after he called him to tell him what happened. So he was worried about him, so he went to look for him, and he found him. And, of course, the police kept him there because they wanted a testimony of what he saw. Do you realize how quick that can change your entire life when somebody is just like that smashed up and turkin' off in an eternity? I remember down in Tennessee when we were working down there with a church setting up a printing work and training a man, and I was working late with this young man, and we're coming out of the print shop and we heard this screech of tires, and all of a sudden, crash, this young man was driving like they did down there, crazy, with his headlights off at night in the mountains, on these mountain roads, you know. And he had been on drugs, lost control. he hit the church sign. Now that sign had two poles that were this big around solid steel with cement in the poles so they wouldn't fall over very well, okay? He hit them poles. He hit one like right there, and the other one was here, and the car hit with such force it swung sideways, and one of the poles was halfway into the car, and he was knocked all the way over to the middle of the vehicle. And we heard the crash, and the other guy I was with ran in to call the police and 911, and I ran down there, and I didn't want to go, but I was afraid what I was going to see. And I had to get him out of the vehicle because it might explode or burn, who knows. And somehow I managed to pull the door open, and I don't know how I did that. That was surely God who helped me do that. And I took and pulled the seat out. Now, you try that sometime, huh? It was a good thing it was rusty. I ripped it out. I got a hold of the guy. He had a leg broke and an arm broke. He had some lacerations, but he was okay. It's the grace of God. But he wasn't saved. Laying on the floor were some drugs. And what are these? Throwing stars, you know, the karate junk and all that. And you could tell that he was pretty well dazed. They took him to the hospital, and of course, he got cited for being high on drugs and reckless driving with his headlights off. It was a big thing, you know, for teenagers to challenge each other, drive with your headlights off. It's exciting. Oh, it is. You ever see somebody coming at you with no headlights? It's scary, too, for the guy coming or driving at him. But anyway, pastor went to see him the next day and led him to the Lord in the hospital. Praise God, he got saved. But it took an accident to wake him up. I hope it doesn't take an accident to wake people up, amen? But, you know, we need to be faithful to witness. Judgment's coming. But there's also rewards coming. But there is judgment coming. I want you to look at another passage. Revelation is a very exciting book. We just read about the judgment seat of Christ, where he sits on the throne. Now I want you to read with me in Revelation 20 and verse 11, beginning there. And I want you to read out loud. I'll read most of it, but you read the last verse, verse 15, out loud with me. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Now read verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Do you know how you get your name in the book of life? You realize that Jesus Christ died for you, that he paid the wages for your sin debt with his death on the cross, because the Bible says, "It is appointed unto men once to die," but it also says that the wage of sin is death, and somebody's got to pay the wage for that death. And because God knew that you and I couldn't pay our own sin debt, he sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. "He who knew no sin," the Bible says, "became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And he paid our sin debt. And Romans 6:23 tells us that as many as, anyway, my brain goes dead once in a while. Anyway, 6:23, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, his gift to us was salvation. He said all you have to do to be saved, to be born again, to know that you only die once instead of twice, you need to realize that I paid for your sin. I've been out to eat with people that have bought me dinner. I said, no, I'll pay for it. No, you're not going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it. No, I can afford it. No, you're not going to pay for it. And they argue with them, but you end up saying, oh, okay, go ahead, you can buy it. It's the same thing with Jesus. He paid your debt. And you can't pay for it. You can't work hard enough. You can't do enough. You can't give enough. You cannot do anything for your salvation except believe that he was sufficient to pay for your sin debt. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Think about that. He paid it all. We sing a song sometimes on Mexico trips. We always sang this. And yesterday I was at the Wings as Eagles meeting there in Green Bay. Oshkosh. I was in Green Bay too yesterday at a funeral. So all this stuff gets mixed up a little bit. I travel a little bit. But anyway, before we ate, Brother Bob Warner at Wings as Eagles, Tanger there in Oshkosh says, we're going to sing a song. And he goes, he paid a debt he could not, he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. And then we prayed Nate. Wow. Try that in a restaurant with 400 people eating. We did that in Madera, Mexico. Four of us missionaries went in this real fancy place and ate. Before we ate, we sang, and all the cooks came out and all the waiters, and everybody stood there listening to us sing. And then when we got done, they applauded. We weren't there for applause. We were there to be a witness and a testimony. We got to witness to several and led a couple of them workers to the Lord. It's important that we share the Christ that we love. He shared himself for us. All he wants us to do is live for him, amen? He doesn't want you to die for him. He's already died for you. He just wants you to live for him. It's a simple thought, amen? These people at this white throne judgment are people that are not saved. But the only thing that they have going for them is they're going to be judged, not whether they go to heaven or hell. It's already determined that they're going to go to the lake of fire. But what the degree of punishment will be in the lake of fire for eternity is based on their works. I don't know about you, but that's a scary thought, amen? If I had to depend on my works, I'm in big trouble. I'm glad I'm depending on Jesus, amen? He paid it all. You know, when their judgment comes, people are going to cry out to God. Say, oh, I didn't do any. I didn't do it. I didn't mean it. And the question is, what did you do with Jesus? Amen. What did you do with my son who I sent to die for you? Did you believe on him? Or did you think you could get into heaven without him? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We need him, amen? The world needs him. Problem with the world isn't COVID. The problem with the world is sin. They need a sin savior, amen? They need to accept Christ as their savior. Our world, the cure to our world is trusting Christ. You say, oh, yeah, I know Christians, though, that died of COVID. So do I. But you know where they live now? In heaven. I also know lost people that died of COVID. Do you know where they're going to live? In hell, and in a lake of fire for eternity. I don't know about you, I'd rather live in heaven. You can't threaten me with death. Death has no power over the believer. Did you know that? For me to live is Christ, Paul said. To die is gain. So if I'm not concerned about me dying, I ought to be concerned about my living, amen? And how I live for God is important. How you live for God is important. It's more important how you live for God for the people around you that you live for God. Amen? They need to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. They need to see that our Christianity is real, not fake. There's enough fake stuff in the world, amen? And the devil's working overtime to create all these fake things that people think they believe in, you know, and everything that you can imagine is out there, but without Christ, nothing is worth anything. We have one thing to look forward to real soon. In Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. You know, he doesn't want us ignorant at all, right? He says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. He says, I got to get there myself. Hang on. I got it memorized to some degree, but I can't. My brain, at my age, it don't work like it used to. Do you have that problem? Amen. I was talking to somebody earlier. They said, you know, I can't remember why I even went to the basement. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. God doesn't want you ignorant concerning them which are asleep or have died, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Amen. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. We sang a song about the word of God. Amen. The word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We can't stop it. Amen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, those that have died before, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's a great comfort to know that I'm going to spend eternity with God. When somebody threatens you or makes, you know, mocks you because you're a Christian, they can't threaten you with heaven. You have a joy that they'll never have. This is the greatest time in their life. If they're here and they're not saved, this is the best time they'll ever have, even if they think it's hell on earth. It's still the best time they'll ever have if they don't get saved. We have so much more to look forward to. We sing songs like, I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun way beyond the blue. Do you have a home in glory land that outshines the sun? I do. He's gone to prepare a place for me, he said in John. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again. I don't know about you, but that excites me. He's got a place being built for me. Wow. It's a blessing when you think about it. In Romans chapter 14, verse 10, it says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I don't answer for you. Amen? Thank God. I have enough to answer for me. You say, do you ever sin? Yes. I thought you said you were saved. Yeah, but that don't mean I don't sin. I live in a corruptible body. Did you know that? Just look at me. Don't I look corruptible? I mean, fat, teeth falling out, hair's falling out, my eyesight's going, my memory's gone. This body is decaying. This body has been dying since the day it was born. I think it's only the grace of God it's alive today. The Bible says that it's 70 saved by reason of strength, you know. I'm 74, so I've got 4 years of strength, I guess, I've been living on. And truthfully, I shouldn't be here. But apparently, nobody's taken my place, so unless I can get somebody to take over for me, I can't go home. Amen? I need a replacement for Scandinavians for Christ ministry. Anybody out there looking for a ministry, I guarantee you, you'll enjoy serving God. He is worthy. Like the angels around the throne said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. He's worthy to serve, amen? He will meet your needs. He has never failed me. And he will never forsake us if we're saved because he said so. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, you leave him and I leave him sometimes. And we forsake him because we live in the flesh. And we allow the flesh to run us sometimes so we don't do what he wants us to do. But he won't leave us. And when you and I get off in the weeds and we get away from God, the Holy Spirit of God will bring us back and nudge us, and we better get right, amen? As a Christian, I repent every now and then of sin that I commit. Did you realize that? I commit sin. I know you can't believe that, but it's true. Ask my wife. I have sinned a few times in my life since I've been saved. I hate to tell you that, but it's true. So have you, by the way. We are sinners. Saved sinners, but we're still sinners. You can be a lost sinner, though, and that's a dangerous position because if you die as a lost sinner, you go to hell and you go to the lake of fire and you're going to be judged by your works only, not, and Jesus won't be interceding for you. For us at the judgment seat of Christ, he intercedes for us. He is our advocate with the Father. His blood and his righteousness is what God sees when he sees us. Isaiah 1:18, though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When I worked in the dark room, it's ancient history now with printing, but we turn off the white lights to take the film out of the box so we could, you know, expose it to what we want to print, and then we develop it, but it's under red light that we work with this so we can see what we're doing. We're not working completely in the dark. And under the red light, I was one day in the dark room and I had two bottles, one with sulfuric acid in it, which is not very good to spill on you and very dangerous. And the other one was another chemical, and they both, one had a red cap and one had a white cap. The red cap was on the sulfuric acid, which means it's bad stuff, so be careful. The other one with the white cap, you know, that was good, okay, it won't hurt you bad. And when I changed the lights on, turned on the red light, shut off the white light, under the red cap now was white. And so both caps were white. So I had to figure out which one was really the red one. You see, that was quite an illustration to me of that verse. When God looks at us, he don't see our sin. He sees the white righteousness of Christ. If you're under the blood of Christ, it's not you, it's Christ that God sees. And you're judged by his work. And his work was faithful. His work was perfect. His work gave you salvation when you trusted him as your Savior. And God says, enter into this place of holiness, thou faithful servant. God sees Christ's righteousness, not your wickedness. Amen. Not your sin. If you confess your sin, he said he's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's after you're saved, by the way. Did you know that? Because he's talking in 1 John there to believers. Believers that sin need to still confess their sin because you're going to lose rewards in heaven. Do you like rewards? How many of you like rewards? I do. How many like, you know, stay two nights at this motel? You can stay the third night free. Amen? That's pretty cool. Of course, you got to pay for all of it. But anyway, you're paying for all three, but you don't know it. But anyway, with God, it doesn't work that way. He has rewards for you. He promised he would take care of you and meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. At the judgment seat of Christ, The issue is not salvation. The issue is our rewards. We're going to be judged according to our works too, somewhat. I want you to turn to a passage, would you please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's a fascinating book, this book, Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and beginning, or, sorry, chapter 3, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 11, that's where I was. I'll be all right as soon as I know what I'm doing. He says, "For the foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward." Isn't that a blessing? "However," verse 15, "if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Hebrews chapter 6 talks about several baptisms, plural. We have a baptism of fire here. Our works will be baptized in fire. The only works that will survive are those that are the precious works, the gold, silver, and precious stone. Do you realize those people that you see get saved, that you have a part in winning to Christ, are precious stones to you, amen? And God looks at that and sees that. Gold, silver, and precious stones are very precious rewards. And God blesses that. It's an amazing thing to me how little we realize how much God loves us. I don't want to suffer loss. I don't want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ ashamed of my life. God's works will be rewarded as gold, silver, and precious stones. When we stand before a holy God at the judgment seat of Christ as believers, we have the ability to receive crowns. I saw the crown jewels of Sweden and Norway. I mean, they're beautiful, magnificent diamonds and rubies and emeralds and precious gold and things. And man, it looks fabulous, but that's just what man can do. Can you imagine the crowns that God has for us? There's an incorruptible crown, the victor's crown. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Mastering the old nature. I don't know about you, but he that overcometh shall receive a crown. You got to overcome things in your life that drag you down. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. I have a whole new vocabulary. I speak the things of God. That's important. That's the incorruptible crown. But then you have the crown of life, which is the martyr's crown for faithfulness, enduring the temptation, even in death. If you don't quit witnessing to me, I'm going to kill you. Okay. You can't threaten me with heaven. I'm still going to tell you God loves you. I love you. And if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. That's the bottom line. And I didn't say that. God did. You can get mad at me. You can get mad at God. But I'm going to tell you because I care about you more than you care about you. If you're standing on a road and you know the bridge is out, and there's cars coming at you, and there's no sign to tell them the bridge is out, and you just stand there and wave at them as they go off the cliff, what did you do to stop them? You should have stumped out and said, "Hey, wait a minute! Wait a minute! Stop! There's a bridge out! There's danger up there!" We need to be willing to take a shot, you know? Get people, so he gets mad. You know, I got so mad at the guy that first witnessed to me. I decided to watch his life. If he's right, I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong and he's right, I'm in trouble. You know what? He was right. I was wrong. I was in trouble. And I'm so glad that eventually I trusted Christ as Savior and it changed my life. Instead of going down the wrong road, he put me on the right road. Instead of going down the Broadway, he put me on the King's Highway. I like the King's Highway better than the Broadway. Scary thought when you think about people around you. You get a crown of life, the martyr's crown. Another crown you can get is the crown of glory. What is the crown of glory? It's the elder's crown, 1 Peter 5, 2 and 4. Faithful for teachers and preachers and people that are doing the work of God. And then there's the crown of righteousness, the anticipator's crown. 2 Timothy 4, 8. For watching and waiting for Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who endured the cross. We're watching for him, amen? I'm looking for his coming. Are you looking for his coming? He's coming again. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, he's coming whether you believe it or not. I mean, you know, it's the way it is. And then lastly, there's a crown of rejoicing. I don't know about you, but that's a soul winner's crown. Do you rejoice when somebody gets saved? Somebody gets saved and says, I got saved this week. Do you say, oh, that's too bad. Shame on you. Or do you get excited and say like Carlos Demers, glory to God, praise God, you got saved. It's like dragging you out of hell and putting you on your way to heaven. I don't know about you, but I get excited when somebody gets saved and I see a young person or an old person. I had the joy of leading my 92-year-old grandmother to the Lord and got to bury her at 96. 92 years old, she got saved. Prior to that, I could never talk to her about Christ. She was Roman Catholic. She was the matriarch in the family. She did her prayers. She did her rosaries. She did all those things. And I asked her one day, Grandma, if you die today, would you go to heaven? Oh, we don't talk religion and politics in this house. Really, I'm not interested in religion. I'm interested, do you know where you're going when you die, Grandma? I got to preach her brother's funeral, and she was there. He got saved 30 days before he died. I got to lead him to the Lord, too. And I just praise God for Uncle Ed, because Uncle Ed, when he got saved, I said, Uncle Ed, how do you know for sure you're saved? He said, I was praying, asking Jesus to come into my heart, and I had such peace come over me. He said, I really believed what that verse said. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Pretty simple, isn't it? You just have to do it. And I shared with my grandmother those things, and I got to lead my grandmother to the Lord. And then my sister called me up the next day and said, what did you do to Grandma? What do you mean, what did I do to Grandma? She said, she got saved. I said, yeah, what about it? Well, Grandma's always been good. Yeah, but that don't save you. You could be as good as gold and still die and go to hell, amen? You could give everything you own away and still die and go to hell. You could be the most faithful member of a church and still die and go to hell. If you're not born again, except you be born again, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said, amen? We need to be born again. She got saved. Her brother got saved. I've got to lead a lot of relatives to the Lord, and it's only because somebody cared enough about me to witness to me that I got saved so that I could lead others to the Lord. Amen? And you're saved because somebody witnessed to you, or you wouldn't be saved. Amen? Somebody cared and prayed for you. You need to pray and care for others. Amen? When you go from this place, don't go just enjoy life. Look around you and see who's out there. See as God sees. You know what God sees when he looks at other people? He sees them lost, without hope, without Christ, and on their way to a Christless eternity in a lake of fire. That's what God sees. And he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to some of the people. That's not what he said. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, everybody. Some will get saved, some won't, but you've got to give them a chance. Amen? Except ye repent, he said, ye shall all likewise perish. That's the answer. Repent or perish. If you don't get right with God, I'm sorry, I can't do any more for you. The best I can do for you is tell you about Jesus, who loves you so much that he died for you. Question is, do you love you so much that you're willing to step out of your pride and trust his death for you? You don't need to die twice. You can only die once. And after this, the